It's so funny how, like, the mental gymnastics we would play with ourselves on, like, skate parks. Like, man, I'm not going there. You got to wear a pad.
I still say that now. I said this 2 days ago to somebody. And they were like, hey, you ever been to the Cove in Santa Monica? I'm like, they still make you wear pads? And they're like, maybe. I'm like, yeah, nah.
Yes.
I'm still on that.
Yes.
Every time I put on a helmet now, it's like, anytime I put on a helmet, I hit my head.
Exactly.
I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the fact that I immediately in my head, my thought process goes, I got a helmet, so I take it to the head.
Yeah.
And I said, boom.
Or you get a lot more casual with it. You know what I mean? Like just because you're not wearing it, you're like, all right, well, this is safe. So, like, you're going to loosen up your neck a little more. You're like, next thing you know, crack.
How about the vert homies you would go street skating with and their knee slide out? You're like, whoa, what the Hey, I was the most Z wannabe fool you could ever imagine. I was fronting the hardest. And I'd even tell fools, like, I was at that stage in my life where I loved the Z so much, but, like, you ride for Z, and I felt like, just don't say nothing. I remember rolling up to a contest, and all the real Z boys were there. They were riding for Mom's Skate Shop back in the days, which most of the Z boys rode for this little skate shop called Mom's.
Okay.
And, like, one of the homies is like, hey, the Z boys are here. Those are your boys, right? And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, fuck, man. My shit is out here now. Today, they're gonna find me. They're gonna find out that I'm just fake. But that was I looked like I rode for Z. I had the Z skin. I had my Z rollers. I had my Dickies. I had the pomade in my hair. I had my palm brush.
Oh shit!
Because the Z boys to me look like they banged.
They did, dude. Them dude, they look like the outsiders.
Yeah, they were. So I thought, you know what? I gotta look like I bang. So, man, I fucking love the Z-Boys. And you trip on this, that you just brought the Z-Boys. I just bumped into Lonnie Hiramoto yesterday at the skate park. He was, like, teaching this kid. And he was telling the little kid, hey, this is Daewon's song, man. This is somebody I looked up to forever. Lonnie told the kid that. I'm like, what?
Wow.
I'm like, whoa. Oh, my God. Please, wow. Lonnie. But, you know, that's the love you get. Like, somebody you... Lonnie Hiramoto was the OG, like, Z-Boy. He was OG, one of the first generation ones, you know, like, not maybe between the OG Z-Boys, and then when it started trickling and they had more vert skaters, then they got the OG Carson kids and all these dudes. But he was right before that.
Okay.
I was telling this kid this, I was like, wow, Lonnie, that means a lot. But I remember Lonnie, I saw him at this abandoned warehouse in Gardena. It's called the Safeco Warehouse. We were all skating, and he came up to me and was like, yo, man, I like the way you skate. And he goes, and he saw me with my Z stuff. He's like, hit me up. All right. And so I don't know if he gave me his number or whatnot, but it was something. I remember hitting him up, but he never hit me back. And I remember being like, damn. He brought that shit up yesterday, too. He goes, man, I remember hearing an interview with you, and you mentioned my name and how I dissed you, and I didn't get you nothing. Or
yeah.
I just said that you didn't hit me back, but I said it, you know, I just said you never hit me back. But, I mean, come on. How many people had to hit him up? That's the same shit that happens to us through the whole period, like, of us being sponsored, Clyde. How many kids hit you up and you thought, damn, they were skating well, and you try to get their number and try to get them hooked up. But you can only do so much.
That is why I made the video Minority Report. Exactly why I made that right there. That's I'm not joking, dude. That I was just like, what the hell, man? Like, none of these guys, like Kellen James, these guys are great too, man. Like, Jeremy Holmes. Yep. Jeremy Holmes, Kellen, who else was in there? Akil, a bunch of guys were in the video, man, and Kevin and all these guys, they jumped in too. But that's why I put the video out for those guys, because I was like, dude.
Wow, like, that video was great.
You know, and what's crazy, is like, you think, you know, you're just like, man, it should be so easy to hook these kids up. And it's so weird how, like, teams function like that, you know, but they're locked in. But at the same time, it's like, you can't get this guy some boards. Like, he's not in the ads or nothing. He's not on the team. You know, like, send the guy a box of boards. He'll probably push him to the next level, and you never, ever know. So I couldn't do that when I was at Zoom.
Think about how hard, I mean, it seemed like you can get hooked up easier back then because the market, it wasn't as flooded.
Still, it was though.
But think about now. It is insane how many kids are out there now. We're talking like in order to get them on flow. But yet there is a kid that surfaces on Instagram. You're like, wow, this kid's good. And automatically somebody grabs him and says, hey, we want to get you some boards. So
yes,
it's like it's pros and cons. So I'm thinking it's hard to actually get hooked up, maybe turn amp for company and then turn pro. But if you're killing it, I think it is, you have the accessibility to like get hooked up like free shit for a little bit. I think it happens pretty quick.
It kind of does, but also that's kind of dangerous. You know what I mean? Because it's like, yeah, it's like that means you're going to be around for a very short amount of time, which
exactly.
is, you know what I mean? Which is, so for like the first 4 or 5 years, that would be great. After that, you know, it's like, I don't know.
If you go anywhere, you get burnt out.
I mean, it's not that, but it's like you're not going to really have anywhere to go. You know, it's like you didn't have time to really build upon your own legacy. You know, it's like next thing you're like one day you're like posting videos, next day you're spam, then you're like you're a pro, and you're a pro for this small company, which is great. That's great. But when that small company goes under, which 99% of the time it does, you know, it's like, where are you going to go after that?
And it's hard too when you've already built this kind of you know, you've planted yourself with this brand. You've already branded yourself as a certain type of skater. So it's hard for companies to take you and say, hey, you know what? We're going to rebrand you and do all this stuff. It's just, they don't want to make that effort. They want to get somebody new. And they just have to, you know, they just work with you right off the beginning of like who you are. So, yeah, it is.
It's WCRP.
What you guys do is really cool. You know, it's like, it's guys that you know that you guys believe in. You know, I feel like it's the same thing. Like, you guys kind of did the same thing with, like, the world does. It's like, you don't just go grab some guys. It's like, these are the guys we believe in. We're going to build these guys. You know, we're going to work with these guys.
It's still hard.
You know, and it's still hard. It's still so hard, man. Yeah, it's so hard.
You got to count on the individuals as well. These guys that you want, that you get, they have to work. They have to do it themselves as well. You can't.
Yes.
You know, you can associate yourself with the brand, but you got to put yourself out there and
you got to do the work.
Give these kids something to kind of say, you know what, I'm feeling this person. I, you're very relatable to me and whatnot. But you know, you branded yourself well, Clyde. You had a certain specific thing about you when you were skating. When I met you, I tripped out because you were out of the box doing tricks that were different. With the blind side front boards and the fakie back tails. That was your shit.
Thank you.
Nobody was doing that.
Thank you.
You did it down. Remember, you went to Santa Ana, did fakie back tail down that rail, and you were doing, and I remember you did fakie front board down that too, and the you could fall in that bank and get fucked up. Remember that?
Exactly.
But there was like a lot of stuff you were doing, and so you had your own style. It's hard for these kids to have their own style right now. It's flooded. It's who are you? What type of skating do you do? And there's a lot of people out there that are killing it. And like, you got that guy, Tom Knox. He has his own specific way of skating.
Yes.
And then you got kids who just go big, or you got these kids who just make it look effortless and their style looks great. And like we were talking about earlier with Sucha and Lopez and Curran, they just look, they flow like water, and it makes you just want to watch more and more. They didn't just appear. These kids have been in the industry already for 15. Louis Lopez has been in the industry for at least 15 years.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he put in the work. He put in the work. And so it doesn't look weird when you see him everywhere and you're like, oh, I remember him. You know, like, I remember hosting contests and he was a kid.
He's not going to have a problem with not being losing a sponsor and getting a new one.
Exactly.
People respect him. He has a legacy.
Yes.
Louis Lopez. People love him.
Yes. And he built that legacy. He built, exactly.
Yeah.
You have to put in the work, you know, with skateboarding per se. You're supplied with these sponsors and these things, these tools to move ahead. And it's how you choose to use those tools. It's very strange to watch a lot of kids. You know, it's like, dude, you can't stay in the same spot. You know what I mean? Like, take them boards, sell them things, get on a plane, make some friends, get on the internet, make some friends, go every, be like Tiago, go fucking everywhere. That's why that dude's winning right now. You know what I mean? He's everywhere. You seem like, damn, that dude's in Boston. You know what I mean? You're like, damn, dude's in Boston. Like, he's killing.
Not fuck around. He looks like that 90s skater, that 90s dude that everybody fucking was just like, wow. Brought that back into 2023, 22. And you get to watch this dude just smash through the streets, and it gets anybody hyped. I don't care the old, the new, especially the old generation. They watch this and they go, "Wait, who the fuck is this? When was this?"
Exactly, exactly.
Why is it so clear? What is this? VX? This ain't no VX, but it's like, no, this is Tiago, man. This is this new guy who he really has respect for that 90s era, but he's bringing that extra to 2023, and it's fucking amazing to watch.
Man, he is amazing to honestly. Great, man. It's just, you know, guys like that. I'm just like, you know, like I'm like, damn, he landed in the wrong era of time. Like,
like he did land in the right era, because he's spread. He's bringing that 90s vibe with the big pants, the big shoes, switchback, those blunting tables, and just smashing through it, long switchback 5-0s, and just doing it like, just there's just something about it.
And the beauty of it,
he put steroids into the 90s skating and just went harder, you know.
And the beauty of that, I really, he doesn't look goofy doing it, and it doesn't look forced. You know what I mean? It's like you see a lot of that. You know, I'm sure you. I see a lot, but I'm just dude, I know what you're going for.
We know.
Yeah, like I know what you're going for.
Won't say nothing, but
yeah, won't say nothing. What you're going for, but that just ain't it. You know, it's just not it. You know what I mean? Like
you can't even blame them. Can't even blame them. They're inspired by something, and it just. And they feel as though it needs to be a specific way. You got to land a specific way. But then you see them get caught off guard, too, with how they're trying to do it. You're like, oh, there it is.
Like, I knew it was coming. You know what I mean? Like, I saw some dude the other day. I was like, I think he's kind of got it. Then I saw him push, and I'm like, damn it. There it went. I was like,
you know what you get a lot of right now is this ambidextrous, this people skate transition goofy, and they skate street regular. I have... you know, you got, what's his name, man?
Scapegoat.
Leandro?
Yes.
Switch. Okay, him, he tripped me out because he was like that, but I got a homie at the local ice skate at who is the same way. I'm like, Adam, you do backside airs in the pool, goofy foot, and you do your kickflips up the Euro gap, regular foot. He's like, yeah, but I go, which way do you skate, though? What do you consider? He goes, well, I consider when I skate bowls and stuff, that's my stance. So I'm goofy foot. So when I do my kickflips up the Euro, that switch. I'm like, what the f***? That is what it is.
Yeah.
It's wild. He can only skate the streets regular footed, and he can only skate transition goofy foot. And now he's trying to work on meshing that together where it's going to make him, it's going to make him a great skateboarder.
It really will, man. You know, I love watching that kid, Leandre. You know, just because it's a different type of skating to me, man. Like, I like it. You know, and it's just different. And he's doing it switch, and it's like, you know what? I can dig that. You know, it's not something I dig into.
Yeah, exactly.
He's
doing it his way.
Yeah, he's doing his own thing. You know, I'm like, it's cool. You know, it's like I said, it's not something I necessarily like, you know, throw a party over.
No, I hear you.
But I know
you got your specifics, Carl. I know exactly.
We're around the same age, right? So, like, it's. I kind of see this a lot, and I kind of see this a lot in skateboarding, or I see it on IG a lot. It's like we had the guys, you know, with the Gons and Nodis and all those guys, fucking legends, greatest skateboarders ever, you know. But then we also had the guys when we saw those guys. You know, we saw the Hensleys and all the new guy, the new fucking armor came through. You know what I'm saying? Like
the ones that took that shit. We were like,
yeah, that took it there.
Because I'm working on a book right now, Clyde. So it's a trip, and so I've been talking about all this stuff about the switch between like Gons and Nodis, and then when the Shackle Me Not surfaced with Hensley, and there was a big wake up call, man, for me. Sal Barbier too.
Yep.
My favorite.
Yep. Yep.
Swamp Rat, you know?
He was doing big spin board slides on rails in like 90, 91. Dude.
Yeah.
Dude. Like, a lot of that shit is like he did Big Spin Board and, like, he did in the A Street video. Well, that's an 89.90.
Yeah, he did a 540 Ollie. He went fakie, 540, did it all the way around. Out of that same bank, he did kickflip backside 180 backside grab. I mean, no, skateboarding hasn't changed that much, Clyde.
Exactly, dude. It's
been there.
People are not
food. They've seasoned it different. And they're making it taste different, and they're giving you larger dishes, bigger portions. But I'm saying the ingredients have been there since when we were kids watching these dudes.
Absolutely.
It's WCRP.
See a lot of these top 10 list of skateboarding videos, and you're like, dude, you have to go examine the not the new 8th Street videos and the old 8th Street. You have to go in, like, the GNS videos. You have to go look at those things, like, because those are the videos in the 8th Street. Like, those are the videos that change skateboarding.
My top 10 videos still, when I list them, Clyde, they don't go farther than maybe 2006.
Yes.
But honestly, but 90% of them are in the 90s. That's my top 10. That's when I was a kid. And what affected me the most.
Yes.
Not what I think is the top 10 compared to everything that's happened in skateboarding. No. This is my top 10 that came out of my, like, where my head was at the time as a kid that mesmerized me, made me think I was watching these gods, these superheroes on a skateboard, and put this magic in my mind. I'm like, wow, skateboard, I'm in love with skateboarding. This is the best time of my life. Pop in a video right now today and go, Jesus Christ, this is the craziest video I've seen. But that spark that I got,
like, 90 to 92, and just, I don't know, it puts me in a certain place and time. You know, yeah, what I mean?
That,
like,
that life video, that soldier story when Sheffy's part starts, man, I'm like, this video, I watch every morning. I was like, this dude's a god. And then when I watched Not His Cop Is Leave His House and do a telstar on the porch and leave,
he looked so cool.
These videos, they did something crazy to me as a kid. It was this sensation that went through my body. I'm like, wow.
I mean,
I wish I could be this good. I wish I could skate like this guy one day.
I mean, even you know, it's one of my favorite videos growing up, Speed Freaks video. I used to love those videos, man, you know, because those were the jam, you know, because it kind of had a good mix of group of things. And so even if you didn't skate vert or anything like that, it didn't look weird in there. You know, you're like, oh, man, these guys look good on vert. And there's a subsection of vert guys from, like, the early 90s that were about to, like, take over too. And then Vert just died out.
But I like the underground too. Like, I think Speed Franks, I think Mike Yusufor was in that.
Absolutely.
And I think Keith Meek was in there. I don't even know if Keith Meek was a bro. I don't know what kind of skateboarder he was.
Jeez. That dude probably sold weed or some shit. Like,
anybody who was in a video, and they're like, you know what? Hey, you're the homie. Be in this video. And all of a sudden, it blew him up.
Exactly. Exactly. Keith Meek was
probably the one with Justin. Was Speed Freaks the one where Justin bombed that hill at the end?
Speed Freaks is the one. I think you might be thinking of the one where actually Speed Freaks is the one where they have the Cadillac touring, and I don't think.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yep.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking. That man. When Nottis does that ollie, and I just figured out who this was that grabbed his board. When Jim Thiebaud grabs his board, I did not know that was Jim Thiebaud. You remember Nottis does an ollie on the quarter pipe and someone grabs his board. It's Jim Thiebaud.
I got two videos mixed up too. Streets of Fire, where Nottis comes out and board slides on top of that.
That's a great video.
Suzuki.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Yes, that video is awesome.
Speed Freaks is OG. Man, group, like, in time of era for skateboarders like me, you, and like a lot of others.
I mean, you saw the surface bubbling, and, like, we just had no idea what was coming. You know what I mean? You saw the surface bubbling, like, with the Speed Freaks videos and things like that, and then, you know, then the 8th Street videos come out, and the 8th Street videos just kept getting better, and I was like, dude, what the? And then the new 8th Street dropped, and it was like, all right, man.
Oh, man.
I was like, I'm done. I was like, it's not going to get better than this.
That Hensy does a front board you know, that old one, he does a front board, he pops it to a fakie 5-0 grind and comes out forward. And I'm like, you know, it's like, come on. Like, these tricks have been going down. It's wild. Like you said, it's just, people could watch those old videos right now to get some new material for themselves under their feet.
Absolutely. You know? And that's what makes those things iconic. You know, it's like, you know, if you watch a lot of, you know, a lot of Chappelle stuff, he got from old Richard Pryor shows. Richard Pryor had a show. It was one.
Oh, he was definitely inspired by him.
Yes. So like, yeah. It's like same thing you're saying about skating. It's like, man, if you watch some of these old videos, like you can literally get inspired by watching these guys. Like
Eddie Murphy, he was going off Richard Pryor stuff and when he was doing Raw.
Yep. Yep.
He just, you know, he was, Richard Pryor was his hero. Man, I used to watch Delirious and Raw fucking every day. Eddie Murphy was, man, he was fucking the man. I remember I got bent out of shape and he started doing Disney movies. I was like, man, fuck Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, him and Ice Cube too.
Why would I say that, Clyde? Like, I caught myself. This is the same thing I talked to you about earlier. I kept it pretty core about how I skated, and I just wanted to nollie back heel benches and switch heel. And then I was spinning around in a fucking office chair and changing wheels in the air. I did exactly what Richard Pryor did to me. He went from this raw-ass dude, like, saying crazy shit. And I was like, fuck. And then he started doing funny Disney movies, and he started going this other route. And I was like, damn, that's what I fucking did. And I had people on my Instagram say, like, damn, what's up, man? Damn, what's up with this circus shit you're doing? And I'm like, hey, I'm just enjoying myself, man. And I tell him, so I'm like, man, I've been doing this shit for how long? 30 fucking something years.
Exactly.
You want to sit here and tell me I need to skate a certain way? I'm tired. I'm in that fucking chair because I'm tired.
It's what you like to do. You know what I mean? You've always been innovative. It's, you know, it's.
You know, we just. It's not even that, too. It was like, yeah, what was that? It was like, damn, like, this shit is fun. This is some shit I do off camera with the homies. Like, hey. There's a fucked up chair here, office chair. And you know all of us damn well we're going to all try to roll in on this shit.
Yeah.
Try to roll down the floor pipes in the chair. When we find this old ass sled, take a sled out to this old crazy marsh with a downhill, we're going to smash down the hill. This is things we do off camera. And I just started doing things where I'm like, I want to film this shit. These stupid things that we do off camera. I'm going to be the other half that I've always been.
It's WCRP.
That's what the internet's for too, man. It's like, I'd rather see someone having a good time than someone, you know, like, yeah. I don't know, man. But, you know, someone trying to trick a bunch and slamming, and it's like, that doesn't look fun.
Yeah.
You know, I don't look
like
fun
I said, Clyde, I can understand how they felt when they started seeing that, just like I told you, and I just said, I was like, man, fuck Eddie Murphy. And I was like, why would I, you know, that's me. That was me just being me at a point where I expected a specific style from Eddie Murphy on who he was as a person. And when he changed it up, even when Ice Cube started doing more things, and when Redman and started doing those movies, and I was in Method Man, I was like, man, I don't know about these dudes no more. And why is that?
To me, I think it's about elevating, man, because it's like, you can't great to give people the unexpected. You know, some people are going to be cool with it. Some people are not going to be cool with it. You know, a lot of people ain't cool with me not drinking. You know what I mean? Like, they look at me crazy. I go out like, it's people, what's wrong with you? It's like, I'm like, nothing, dude. I'm just.
Yeah, it trips them out.
Yeah, I'm just not drunk.
About, like, then they want to question you about this. Like, they want to bring up this. Like, come on, man. Just one. Like, you can go in moderation, man. I'll be right here, man, watching you.
Yeah.
Like, not about that.
Yeah.
Not about that.
I'm like, I'm just having fun. I'm just chilling, man. Like, and I know other ways to have fun. You know,
I'm surrounded by a lot of people, man. I'm talking, they were the diehard drunks. The one drink no more. When I'm around them, they're fine with it, and they do well with themselves too. And I watch it, and I respect it. I go, you know, the amount of like how much you have to respect somebody for being able to, like, you know, just step back and just be able to still enjoy themselves and even put themselves in the worst situations, like you said, being at Tampa, where it all kind of, you know, the last place.
It's like it was like, you know, a big drunk pirate ship. Like, honestly, yeah, dude, it was like being on a drunk pirate ship. And I was just like, dude, let me jump off this ship.
Like the only thing I use is I can say is I drink alcohol. That's it. But other thing, everything else, like weed, I feel like weed is one of the safest things out there. Fuck, you know what I mean? But I still don't smoke.
Oh.
I don't smoke weed. I haven't done any of that. I don't smoke cigarette smoke. We ain't done no type of, all that other shit.
That's awesome, man.
And the thing is, I'm around it all the time, and it's just, I don't feel nothing when I'm around it, and I don't feel like I need to do it, and I don't feel like I want to do it.
That's awesome.
I've gotten to that point in my life where it just, and when I'm around people, they're like, hey, I'm like, no, I'm good. They're like, well, you don't smoke? I'm like, no. They're like, what? A trip.
Yeah.
They're like, you never smoked. I go, I mean, I might have like here and there, like been like,
Yeah.
Had like, but like maybe three times in my whole life. And I'm good.
A lot of people just don't smoke, and there ain't nothing wrong with that. A lot of people are addicted to it too, and they don't want to, a lot of people don't want to fucking accept that, it's like, dude, you're addicted to weed, like, if you didn't have it, or they gotta smoke a certain amount, or,
don't even travel because they know that they're not gonna be able to get it out there.
And that's what I'm saying, dude. Like, that's an addict. You know what I'm saying? People just don't want to accept that. That is straight up an addict, dude. Like, oh man, I can't get no heroin over there. If you switch me out with heroin, you'd be like, oh, what a heroin addict. But you could be a weed addict too.
I can say that I felt like I was an alcoholic at a dark time in my life when I said I was sleeping in my car. But nowadays, I can go moderation. I could drink a lot. I could drink a little. I can go without drinking. If you go, hey, we're going to go on this trip for 3 weeks, no drinking, I'm like, I'm good. I'm solid. Let's get this in who I am. And I've been through the darkest. So I can set that aside and just go, you know what? I'll drink when I get back. I'll have it, So, because I do enjoy it,
mm-hmm.
in moderation. But it's put me in some bad situations too, Clyde, where I had to get to those points in my life to realize how stupid and how big of a mistake it was to like get the, be in that,
yes.
put myself there and embarrass people that I love. And just, I seen some of the people I love the most get hurt by where I was with that. So
that's real, man. And that's very commendable, man. That's a very hard pill I had to swallow too. And it took a couple of things. It took that time in Tampa, and then I got really sick afterwards. And come to find out, I might have had fucking Corona or whatever that shit is, because this is a week before everything shut down. So I was in Tampa for the week, and I got deathly sick.
Oh, damn, that was you're talking, this is just 2021.
I'm talking 2020, dude. So I got deathly sick. I got deathly sick, right? And so I was drinking a lot at work, man. I was taking handles in and just like, I was just... one day I was walking to work in Winston-Salem, and I was just like, dude, what happened to me? You know what I mean? Like, I just knew I was at rock bottom. You know what I mean? Like, I was borrowing money from the owner, and because I was drinking so much and fucking partying after work. And I was walking to work one day, and I was late, and it was cold, and I was just like, what happened to you, man? You know what I mean? Like, and like, just like you said, like, I was like, man, I'm just let so many people down. And then luckily out of nowhere, I got the call about going to Tampa for the Sean Cliver board drop. And I was like, sweet, get there, get wasted. And then I came back and I was like, dude, I'm never drinking again. I told my buddy Jerry, and it was a week before everything shut down. So this is the greatest part about it. I had known I'd hit rock bottom, but then when everything shut down, it really clicked in like, oh man, like, I don't really got nothing but myself and my health.
Exactly.
And I quit drinking before that. And so when everything shut down,
it was like a safe place for you too, man.
It was so safe because I realized I was a social drinker and I never liked drinking in my house. So dude, like everything shutting down benefited me from not drinking. It literally 100% benefited me. So I quit for 30 days. Didn't say nothing. I said something like three people. And, it took me like hitting rock bottom, man, to just like noticing the kind of people I was around, and just like, I was like, dude, I wasn't happy.
You got COVID like that bad. I got COVID bad too, and it put me out. Man, I was out for 3 months. Like, I thought I was gonna die. I was sleeping I was, me and my girl got COVID bad, and then our kid got COVID, or little daughter got COVID too, and the baby got COVID.
Wow.
So everybody got COVID, but the baby, my little, she was 3 at the time, and the other one was just, she was like 8 weeks. And damn, me and my girl, I was paralyzed. I couldn't even move. I would move myself to the balcony. I would crawl to a balcony. I would lay out there for hours under this bench. Then I slept in the closet for 3 nights. I was in the corner. What the fuck was going on? And that, there was that one point where I was one of them fools like, yeah, COVID, whatever, you know? And like, if it gets me, it gets me. But it got me. It got me bad. I tried to get up. My girl had to go to urgent. And she waited. And she came back after like 6 hours. And I go, what did they do? And they go, they gave me fluids. I sat in the waiting room for 3.5 hours. And then her mom went and picked her up. I tried to get up and go get her. I fell over in the kitchen.
Damn, dude.
Yeah, I was fucked up. And I lost 32 pounds.
Damn.
I couldn't eat for 4 days. You know what's funny is after COVID, though, I was hyped. I was like, damn, I need to slim down. Fuck, so.
It's WCRP.
Okay, so after that, like, it had been like 3-4 weeks, and then I started feeling better, and then like a month and a half in, I started feeling a little better, and I tried to go skate. I couldn't do 360 flips for like a week. Like, my body got fucked up. I really got messed up. I couldn't do 360 flips. I was winded. I felt like I was, I felt like I was asthmatic. Like, I thought I was, had asthma.
Damn, dude. Like, when I was down for, I mean, it was a couple of days. I stayed a couple of days extra in Tampa. My friend Lauren, she had an Airbnb down there, so she let us stay there. And it was me. This kid Jesse was staying there. Dude, I'm deathly sick on the bed. Like, I don't know if they just thought I was hungover, but, man, I was having bad cold sweats. Like you said, I was getting paralyzed and shit. Like, I seriously thought I felt like I was going to fucking die. And the whole time this kid. Uh-oh, we lost him.